Our scripture this morning, again, as we're diving into the book of Numbers, is Numbers chapter 6 and verses 22 through 27. As I indicated last week, we will not necessarily be going chronologically through Numbers, kind of bouncing around. I gave a general introduction to it last week. And if you missed that, you can always catch up on our church's website, kind of an overview of where we're going with Numbers. But before I read this, I would acknowledge something that I think we all would attest to. That in this broken world, we all at times feel kind of beat up. We all at times kind of just sense the pressure of things going against us. You know, circumstances, people. And a part of that is what we call put-downs, when people say things to kind of put us down or devalue us for who we are. In fact, really think about it, situation comedies nowadays are kind of based a lot on put-downs. And maybe we can laugh at some of that, but you know, receiving put-downs sometimes is anything but a laughing matter. And yet, if we are honest with ourselves, we not only receive put-downs, but we've also been guilty of giving put-downs at some point in some way to others. And put-downs can sometimes just come right out of the blue when you least expect it. I'm reminded of the story of this city slicker who was out for a drive in the country one day, and he happened to notice a farmer's roadside produce stand where the farmer was selling some of his produce. And the city slicker looked at that, and it was just kind of a crudely, simply built. And so he pulled out over, and he went up to the farmer. He said, you know, you could be making a lot more money than what you're doing if you would spruce this thing up. And for a fee, I'd be glad to give you advice on how to really get this place snappy looking. You'd do a lot better. And the farmer politely said, no thanks. But the city slicker wasn't done. He got kind of cynical and said, oh, so you're too good for my advice. You just want to stay in below mediocrity like this? You could do so much better, and yet you don't want to do that? And so he's kind of berating this farmer, but all the while he's kind of having to swat away flies. So the farmer at one point says, well, it looks like those circle flies are kind of bothering you. And the guy said, circle flies? I've never heard of that. What are circle flies? And farmer said, well, they're very common out here in the country. We call them circle flies because we usually find them circling around a horse's rear end. And the city slicker says, wait a minute. Are you calling me a horse's rear end? Farmer said, oh, no. I have much too much respect for people, urban or rural. And he paused. He said, but it's hard to fool them flies, though. Well, from our way of looking at it, the city slicker had it coming. After he's just putting this farmer down. And yet, when you really get honest, the farmer also had his own put down. They were both guilty of put downs. How are we to respond when we are given put downs in life? Now, as followers of Christ, is that a time when we pray, oh, Lord, I need wisdom here. What's a real effective zinger of a comeback that can outdo that one? I don't think that's how the Lord wants us to pray in those situations. Not when he's already told us that we're to love our enemies and bless those who persecute us. No, what we need to recognize is this pattern in humanity that we've been guilty of too, of beating each other up, whether it's in words or put-downs or something stronger, is because of sin. Because of pride. Because of the world revolves around me mindset. Sin. And yet in spite of our sin, we are still humans made in the image of God. And so deep within us, beyond our guilt and our shame and our sin, there is a desire, a desperate desire to be lifted up, to be given hope, even to receive God's blessing. Turns out that Jesus has another way he wants us to respond to the put downs we receive. But the first and most important thing he wants us to respond with is to receive his grace, to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us, and to receive God's blessing. Because our heart so beats and desires for God's blessing, our Creator and Redeemer. No wonder it is that the passage we're going to look at here in Number 6, called the Priestly Blessing, was so foundational to the people of Israel, because they needed that blessing, as we all do. And yet, as we look what this blessing meant to them in their setting, we're going to see that in Christ it reaches a whole new realm of fulfillment beyond what they could have ever asked or imagined. And as we grab a hold of what it means to us in Christ, we'll also see what it means to the world through us. So let's hear God's Word. I'm going to read it now. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." I want us to look at these verses under two headings. The first heading is grace. The second heading is response. We'll start with grace. The Hebrew word to bless is the word barak, and it literally means to kneel down or lean over. And so for God to bless us, His people, is like He's kneeling down because we so desperately need His cleansing, His forgiveness, His blessing, and yet we do not deserve it because of our sin. So God, in a sense, humbles Himself. He kneels down to come to us to bless us. And you can see here, this is like a prayer. You know, the Lord bless you and keep you is an invocation, invoking God's presence. And yet what's interesting is that the Lord gives the words to the prayer. God says to Moses, "Tell Aaron, tell the priest, this is how they are to pray to bless, bring my blessing on the people." It's kind of like Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Here is how you to pray. Here are the themes that bring you into the Father's heart." And so what we find here is the prayer, this blessing of the need for God's grace, by God's grace is given to us. He says, "Here's how you to pray, how you can pray to receive my grace." And as you look at this, you can see verses 24 through 36. The blessing has three clear parts. The first part, the Lord bless you and keep you. To keep means to hold, to protect. The second part, the Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The giving of grace, a favor in some tangible way that comes from God. And the third part, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now this word peace is the Hebrew word, you've heard it before, shalom. And it is a sense of wholeness, complete wholeness. By the way, the opposite of the Hebrew word peace is not war. It is evil, sin. Because until Jesus comes again, there's going to be evil and sin, there's going to be wars. But Jesus said, "I give you peace not as the world gives." It's a wholeness, it's within, it's that peace of being reconciled to God and forgiven. So this is the blessing. Now notice all three couplets start with a focus on Yahweh, the Lord, Yahweh, the mighty God. Why? Because all blessings come from Yahweh. It all originates with Him. And what we don't see here in our English version, even though it's beautiful read in English, but there's something phenomenal in the Hebrew in which it was written that shows an incredible harmony and a cascading of the grace of God. Because For example, verse 24, there is seven words in the English, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Hebrew has three words. And in verse 25, the Hebrew has five words. Verse 26, the Hebrew has seven words. 3 plus 5 plus 7 equals 15. Of those 15 Hebrew words in the blessing, three are the three references to Yahweh, the triune God, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. That leaves 12 Hebrew words equivalent to the 12 tribes of Israel. It's a beautiful, harmonious expression from God saying, here is my grace upon you. And therefore, verse 27, therefore, with this blessing, my name is upon my people. His name meaning his character, his presence, who he is. And friends, as meaningful as this was to God's people Israel in the Old Covenant, how much more fulfillment does it have for us in the New Covenant in Jesus Christ? Paul writes in Ephesians 1, verse 3, praise be to the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every blessing that the Father gives is given to us in Christ. And after all, Christ, who is our great high priest, is so far greater than Aaron, the high priest of the Old Covenant. And also, Jesus fulfills all three of these petitions here in this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Jesus says in John 10, I will hold my people in my hand. He keeps us. And this next petition, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jesus is the very embodiment of truth and grace. In fact, in John 1, verse 16, it says, from the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. Why? Because we are saved by grace and we live by grace. All of this is undeserved, but it's given to us through Christ. And then the third petition, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, shalom. Oh, there's the peace that Jesus gives and alone gives by reconciling us to the Father through forgiving our sins. No wonder he did say, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. The world can't save us from sin and reconcile us to our Creator. Jesus can. And he says, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but in me you may have peace. That's a gift from our Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, this is all grace. The blessing is God's grace to us. So then, let's move to the other heading I want us to look at, and that's response. What is our response to this blessing, to this pouring out of God's grace in our lives? Just as there are three parts to this blessing, there is three dimensions to our response to God's blessing. And those three dimensions are God, we bless God, and we bless one another in the body of Christ, the people of God, and we bless the world. But here is something, now make sure you get this. Our response is always a response. God always initiates. We are blessed in order to be able to bless, but without his blessing, we will not be able to bless. And I'll put it this way, another way to put it, is that to the degree that we resist God's blessing, and whether by just hardening our heart or kind of, I'll let you partly in, Jesus, but I want to control this part of my life, and to the degree that we do not totally surrender and receive grace, to that degree we will be hindered in blessing God, blessing one another, and blessing the world. Because it's his grace flowing into us in Christ that enables us to return. So let's take a look at these three dimensions where we also kneel down. We humble ourselves and then return blessing. How about blessing God? You know, we were doing that this morning. If your hearts were caught up in worship, in that singing, we were blessing God. Because what that means is that we, in humility, we kneel down and say, you are everything to me. I'm totally dependent on you. And so I give you my worship, my praise, my obedience. I noticed as we were singing that great song about when I survey the wondrous cross, and then it has that chorus in there, and it says, oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name. We are blessing God in our worship, in our adoration of how great He is. Well, then, we bless one another. And something we want to point out here is in the priestly blessing here in number 6, God told Moses, this is what you say to Aaron, for the priest to pronounce over the people. Now, one thing I want us to see is that this blessing was given to the corporate body of Israel. In other words, it's not that God can't bless us individually, but there is a special anointing of His blessing when people gather for corporate worship. Israel was blessed when they came together as a people of God. And we have to, again, I have mentioned this before, we have to watch in our country where there's so much emphasis on individualism that we not take our Christian faith and put that together with individualism. We have to individually surrender to Christ, but then He makes us a part of His family. And the Bible leaves no room for just a me and God faith. We are together. And here's one of the blessings of that, is that we bless one another and receive His blessing corporately. But listen, here's the other unique thing. In the Old Testament, where the priests alone were giving the blessing to the people, in the New Testament, we are all priests. We are a kingdom of priests. And we have the grace from God to bless one another and encourage one another with grace and blessing each other with peace and grace in Christ. And that leaves us a third area, third direction for blessing. This is one I find challenging but exciting, and that is blessing the world. Blessing those who don't know Christ, or at least don't know Him yet. Because we are now Christ's ambassadors. We are to go out into the world and spread the good news. Psalm 67 is one of the reflections reading for this week. It's a psalm that starts off with a direct echo of the priestly blessing. But then listen to where it goes. It starts off, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. But then this is why. So that your ways may be known on earth, your saving power to all nations. In other words, even in the Old Testament, they saw that God, you are blessing us in order for us to bless the nations with who you are. And now in Christ, that is how we are to have that same heart, whether we're on a walk like Bea is just around her neighborhood and comes across someone and she blesses him by praying for him. You know, getting back to our city slicker and the farmer who traded put-downs, how does Jesus want us to respond in a world where we face put-downs? I think He spoke through Peter in 1 Peter 3:9, where Peter said, do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult, or I would add Krantz Revised Version, or put down with put down, but with blessing. It's right there in the Bible. That's how we are to respond. We have the privilege of blessing those around us. That may be in just a quiet prayer, you know, to someone that just irks us, and we just say, Lord, bless them. And inappropriate, we may say that out loud, you know, if they're hurting in some way. But we are here to bless. And in that blessing, seeds are sown for the good news of Christ. Because although we live in a world of put-downs because of sin, we who have been redeemed by Christ dying on the cross for our sins, rising from the dead, we who by God's grace have been saved are now a people of kneel-down. Kneeling down to bless God, kneeling down to bless one another, and kneeling down to bless a world that needs and desires God's blessing. Friends, we've already done two of the three. We have blessed God in our worship. And in a sense, we've blessed the world in praying, Lord, you know, do a new thing, reach out through us. But I want us to close the service with blessing one another. We need that. That's a part of what it means to come together as the body of Christ. We're out there in a world where we get beat up, but we come back and recognize that we are loved. We are loved by the Lord, and we are loved by His people. I'd like us to just in some small groups, 3, 5, 6 people, whatever, one or two of you, just pray blessing over the people in your group, praying God's grace and peace upon you, and just lifting you up in the body of Christ. So take a few minutes, and just several of you lead out in prayers of blessing in your group. Friends, if you need prayer for anything, we'll have prayer team members up front here. They'd be glad to pray with you. And again, you're invited, all of you, down to the pancake feed we have right below us here, and just enjoy the fellowship together. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace, now and always. Amen.
Amen.